Public Works Committee meeting for Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. We have Alderman Sully, Alderman Cornelius, Alderman Merrick, Alderman Coke, and we have city staff present. Citizens' comments? Anyone online? Move on to minutes for correction or approval, October 17th, 2023. All right, we'll consider approved. On new business, item one, PW 2023-84, Route 47 expansion and improvements, update and overview.
Brad's got a nice memo in the packet. Him and Eric have been reviewing different versions of Route 47 plans north and south for the better part of the past few weeks. And so, there's an opportunity here basically to give a status update on what the state is currently doing in their design, detailed design engineering phase, and for us to potentially, and probably not without avoiding cost, but to change up any of these plans if we have any different thoughts than where we were a few years ago when we committed to these things. So there's a review of just the status, and specifically I asked them to look at where the grassed parkway medians are in the middle of the highway, and then also where the trails are planned to go. Of note, when these trails were planned, the state was only paying for 80% of the cost of the trails, so our selection of trail locations and lengths was based on us trying to minimize cost at the time. We did it when we didn't have a lot of money, and so not that we cut corners, but we definitely made that decision. And so if we wanted to add trail locations and other things, it would be at 100% state funding. And there isn't anything necessarily that we're recommending now, as much as we just need to take a look at the map, remember where we put these things in the past, then make any comments here going forward. So with that, Brad and Eric, I don't know if you want to give an overview of the sections, just so we've got a base level.
Yeah, we can do that. Sure. So within the memo, basically we kind of broke it down into two different sections. So we have the Yorkville to Sugar Grove work, which is planned by the state. It's well over $100 million at this point, estimated from a construction perspective. They are planning on breaking it up into three separate construction contracts. So it's such a large improvement to break it down. You'll get more bidders, better bonding capacity, and things like that. So it's broken down as noted, but basically the first section that comes into play from Yorkville's perspective is Kennedy Road to Water Park Way. That is going to be handled by District 3 out of Ottawa. Then from Water Park Way up to Jericho, another section that affects Yorkville property and what have you. That's going to be handled by District 1 offices out of Schaumburg, and then as well as the Jericho to Cross Street Sugar Grove that will also be handled by District 1. So yeah, as Bart alluded to, we have been seeing various versions of final engineering plans come in. And they are very detailed, very lengthy, 600-800 pages per section, so a lot for us to take a look at, but they are moving toward project lettings. We don't have final letting dates on all the sections, but would anticipate them to be happening within the next 6 to say 14, 15 months is the way it's looking. So, Bart had alluded to some exhibits that were prepared as well. So we noted that in the packet. So we have locations of medians, locations of where the shared use paths are going, and traffic signals. That's another element that sometimes is asked about. And then the other thing that's noted on the northern section two is we do have several areas of water main and sanitary sewer conflicts. And on the northern section from Water Park Way North, that will be covered by IDOT because that water main is currently within existing easements outside the right-of-way. IDOT is taking that property, causing conflicts, so they will be paying for that section, and they've acknowledged that.
That section, though, Brad, is that's the section we are designing and
yes.
handing over to IDOT.
Correct.
And we.
Yeah, so the city will be responsible for designing it. It will be paid for by IDOT. And then the plans will be inserted into their construction plans, and then that'll be all built, and, you know, as part of the project. And then down by Wrigley, there's another section of water main and sanitary sewer that definitely will be in conflict as well. We have not been able to identify existing easements where those utilities are at, so most likely this will be the responsibility of the city to relocate. So we're currently, you know, having some back and forth with IDOT on that, and hopefully we'll have resolution of that relatively soon. So that's kind of the northern section at a high level. Maybe we should just pause and fire away with any questions that anybody has on that before we jump to the cross of the one south.
I'll go first. So anywhere like the bridge that crosses the creek and the two, there's two train.
Yes.
So is that going to remain like it is now under it? And then they are going to have to, how do they get under the train tracks? They're not going to keep merging it down and...
No, they build a temporary set of
okay.
trestle, then they build the complete new one and take the old one down.
Sort of like they did over by Orchard Road
yep.
and they did Jericho or Parrot Path or whatever that
yep.
was that. Okay, so they'll still go under, there's no, like I know, I think by Fox Valley they actually built it up and went over it, so I just wanted to find out if that was what they were going to
yeah.
do.
Yep.
All the way on New York.
Yeah. No, it's on 34, I think.
Yeah, it's on 34. It's right before 75th.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing I noticed was, okay, so these purple areas, we're going to have costs involved, right?
Yep.
Is there two of these that are the same property? They just got shown on two different pictures? Because it looked like, to me, I was trying to add them up, and there's 200, I think there's two that say 810,000.
Right.
Correct. So there's water main and sanitary sewer, yes. So, yeah, very high level. Basically, we're throwing a cost per foot. They happen to be roughly the same footages at this point, so.
1.6.
So it is, okay, so it is times,
yep.
okay.
Yep.
I thought maybe it was duplicated or something.
So yeah, there's sanitary sewer and force main that appear to be in conflict. Along with the water main. And that
along with 16-inch water.
Is this going to be finally opening up the other side for Bristol Bay?
Yes, connecting, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, right, there'll be two connections made, one at Bertram and one at Bristol Bay Drive, yes.
I believe Bertram's right in, right out? Or
no,
both full access?
They're both full
okay.
access. Both full access, yes.
So
but
is there
but
any lights?
Not signal
no lights. No
signal. That's what I was just going to ask.
Yeah, they don't meet warrants. So for traffic signals, there's a series of 8 warrants that need to be met. And those two areas, they do not meet the warrants.
But you'll be able to turn right, left from any direction.
Yes.
Yep.
The way that people drive in that subdivision now, I just see that being a...
Yeah, I was thinking
with four lanes, though, like Greenbrier Road's a great example. You could, when they opened up 47 to four lanes, you can turn left out of Greenbrier. Much easier
yeah.
than you used to be able
yeah.
to.
You pull out to the middle lane
a
and
lot
then
of
you
them,
drive
yep.
down that until everybody lets you over.
Let you over.
Which is, I think, dangerous as heck, but whatever. The light should have been, they put a light down by Duncan down there, and that light should have been in Greenbrier, would ask me.
Because we had an obligation for a light there.
Only when it develops to the east.
Once it develops on the east.
Yeah, because the other light is kind of like useless. The one where you could use it.
So would it make sense just to do it?
They've already done they made it 4 lanes already, so it's like, probably missed the boat as far as.
Well, but thinking up here at Bristol Bay.
I'm thinking, that's why I asked about Bristol Bay.
You do it at the time, you factor in this cost savings, granted the warrant's not there. What happens if we elect to do it without the warrants?
It'll be 100% our cost.
100%?
100%.
Plus, automatically.
They won't approve it, yeah. They
yeah,
won't let it happen.
Because it creates a dangerous situation. Yeah, so they looked at all the intersections as part of their phase one study, so that's kind of a precursor to their final design plans, and those intersections they just didn't have enough traffic, basically.
We had asked the same thing at
Cornelius.
Yes,
a couple
correct.
Others. We
yes.
had a developer that was willing to actually fund it themselves, and they just told us no, not
yes.
until the warrant is there.
Yes.
And especially now that there's a signal at Water Park Way, they'll probably make Westbury exit out Water Park Way since there's already a light there.
I mean, that's just, honestly, when you look at Bristol Bay, you know, the northern one, not Bertram, but the one at the north end, that's the midpoint between Galena and 30. You would think that would be the ideal position to go ahead and put it in. I'm sorry, just with everything that's built out in Bristol Bay, if they're going to put an intersection or a full intersection, 5-lane cross section, this is the stupidity of IDOT. Hopefully that's on the record.
Rusty?
So is this going to be broken down into 3 contracts? Are they all going to be executed at the same time?
Well, we don't know for sure, but it's possible you're going to have all 3 going at the same time. Absolutely. So one that we know we think is being circled in around is a January 2025 letting, which is the section between basically the middle, Water Park Way to Jericho. We've heard that the one closer to Yorkville, Kennedy to Water Park, could happen even sooner. So, they're still trying to final their land acquisition, and then obviously they have to finalize the plans, although they're pushing hard for all those things. So, once we know the letting dates, we'll certainly pass that on, but there's a very strong chance that all 3 will be under construction at the same time.
But not necessarily starting at the same time?
Correct.
Not right. The same phase while they're going through the area.
Just a couple. So the exhibit that shows the green for the grass paved areas, I know that there were some exhibits that IDOT had issued previously that actually had the pavement identified. It showed where the actual lanes would be, the islands, the right away. The one thing that's missing for me on these exhibits is actually the pavement to see what's going to be the grass islands versus concrete medians, those kind of things.
Sure.
I generally know what the width is from those prior exhibits, but to see the actual pavement, obviously you get to a certain point of narrowness, 4 feet and less, there's no benefit to put grass there. So you go ahead and do that concrete, but I know some of these end up having the full rollover rumbles and things. Personally, I want to see as much grass as possible through these medians. We have a couple of highways, and we've seen it elsewhere, that you end up without the grass medians. It's just concrete highways from hell. So I want to see us try to do this one correctly, where we get the medians, make as much grass as we can in here. So I don't know if there's anything else that can be looked at to see, can we expand it a little bit further? Because there are certain areas that look like they could, but I know there's the turn lanes of papers, those kind of things restrict us.
Right. I believe that the prior direction of the MOU several years ago was as much grass media as possible.
Okay.
So that's my recollection anyway.
And without seeing the overlay of the paper, it's hard to tell, because I'm going from a document that was 2018.
But what's in the packet where it's green is confirmed
right.
grass.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right
with
the
8 feet in general?
Oh, it's going to be...
No, some of those go...
Some of them are like about 34 by Autumn Creek, where they're
okay.
probably 15 feet wide.
Yeah, because that document from 2018 that was released, that was the initial. Those had some pretty significant medians in places.
Right. And that IDOT actually wants to use the northern section. Some of it has have drains in them. Even. They're using them as actual part of this project.
Yeah, so that's the one thing. Then the other thing is, I know this is going to get some pushback, but Aurora and Naperville have successfully done it. Can we get trees within the median or in the parkways?
They've told us in the past that they can do it according to permit, but they won't do it as part of the planning process. So they told us in 2012 with center expansion, basically to finish the project and then to come back here on a permit basis to ask us for trees. And that generally they don't do it and they don't allow it, but they have agreed and accepted to the past.
I just, seeing what's happened with some of our other roadways, I think it's something that maybe we can actually go back on some of these that have parkways, obviously, if there's just concrete beams, we can't do anything. I know Naperville went through over reconstruction on one of the roads in particular to take out the concrete and put in green medians, which was expensive. But to do it right and get it in as soon as we can, I think that would be beneficial for this stretch.
It's probably a better idea to have a broader conversation about how much we want to spend maintaining and how we design those. Mm-hmm. If it would just be trees and grass
right.
versus mulch versus decorative flowers, anything like that.
Right. That's and they'll do kind of lead into an additional business item on that.
So. Yeah, I mean, if everybody else wants to look at that down the road, happy to follow it. But the current direction has been grass, concrete curb, that's it. But it is possible. For any, for 34, for 47, anywhere where there's currently grass, they don't like it, don't usually allow it to have granted with your exception. It just takes a little bit of time to plan, submit approval.
And we maintain it anyway, so.
Correct.
Can I just move on then? So these areas where we're going to have to come up with funds, that's right now it's not budgeted, right?
Correct.
So because we really don't even already know how you budget it.
Correct.
And what's staff's thought process as far as how we're going to budget it?
Well, the north section is going to be reimbursed for IDOT, so this one here, already confirmed.
Right,
so we'll have to do it, so that one isn't a concern. These two here down by Wrigley at $1.6 million, IDOT is saying right now that they won't reimburse us because it's not in an easement, but it is outside of the right-of-way. Correct? Did we confirm that?
Okay,
so that's still a dispute, whether it's in or out. And then the issue is that there isn't a recorded city easement. There's a chance that if it's outside of the right-of-way and not within an existing easement, this is built in like the 80s or the 90s, that we could go to Wrigley and say, we please put in an easement now, and then IDOT may or may not have to then reimburse us for that. So obviously we're going to try to do that and see how that goes. If it doesn't, we'll plug that into our capital improvement plan. It'll be $800,000 on each of the water and sewer budget, you know, depending on what it is. The water budget is so wildly, inflated on both sides of the ledger because of Lake Michigan that is probably not much of an issue. The sewer fund, off the top of my head, has available capacity. We could defer some projects probably without much of an issue. Probably wouldn't have to raise rates or anything associated with it other than what we're currently planning, which is inflationary increase only. And then jumping way ahead of ourselves, this is probably the bigger one. This is $2.2 million, on the south side. This one is definitely going to be our cost. We put the water and sewer mains in the state right-of-way by choice in the early 2000s.
Yes, for Wyndham Ridge.
You know, just because it was the cheapest and easiest thing to do. There's a lot of topography in the area, a lot of, property owners, et cetera, to negotiate with, so we just threw in the right-of-way. And so that will just have to be plugged in whenever it's going to be. So again, that'll be, this is water main only, okay, so that'll only be on the water side, so it'll be an additional $2 million increase in whatever year that it is, over time. So
it would definitely, you're going to pull it out of either water or sewer, depending on the, what you can do it with. You're not going to try to use road other roads, right?
The only other large expense would be the traffic signals. We have to pay for the preemption at 100%. We pay for roadway lighting at 100%.
We have those costs budgeted already.
I think they're
previous MOUs. The only thing that's new is these relocations.
Yep.
With the wind debts and the water relocation down there, is there any chance to consider changing the location instead of keeping it all along Route 47? Can we run through the subdivisions with great closeness?
Yeah,
we're looking
at that. Yeah, we haven't got to that level other than a high level discussion that let's look at that and get it out of the right away, just like you're looking at.
So does that idea make it any cheaper, or is it still going to be about the same?
That's what we did on 71.
Depends, yeah.
Yeah, just I see some sections that are pretty lengthy in there. I can see possible loops that we can make. We've got access through other utility paths here. It might be doable.
Correct. ComEd, which they're not fun to play with either sometimes.
But
so
still, if it's
get it out of the right of way.
And we're not having to deal with, you know, additional acquisitions on private properties along here, because we don't want to do the same thing, put it back in IDOT right away. We'd have to be doing acquisitions along here, it looks like. So could be some options, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
And then for Blackberry Creek, where it crosses over there, did they buy the easement already? So I'm assuming it's going, is it going on both sides, or is it just being pulled, going to go through on one side?
The shared use path?
No, well, the whole, to widen it.
That I don't
know. Where's Blackberry Creek?
I believe they're going to try to flatten out those curbs a little bit, so I think it's more toward the east side.
So east.
So I think the houses are pretty close on
the church property as they go up the hill.
Well, definitely there's right away.
Yeah.
And then that person that has that little
pond there, I think that's where it kind of flattens out, though, and kind of comes back around, because there's a house right there on the south side of the pond.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of flattens out there and turns back towards the south.
Yeah, that was one spot that I always thought would be a hard spot to get through. So.
Yeah, it looks like they took mostly on the east side. Right-of-ways.
Yep. That's where the shared use path is going the whole way up, is the east side.
Yes.
Curious as to how much cost savings you're going to have by just not the truck running with the curb, really.
The county is thankful.
So, Chris, to follow up, you know, we can provide you the detail, provide the right set of plans or portion of the plans, you know, if you want to look at it a little bit further. Certainly we'll dive into that more, too. But, yeah, I don't doubt they've done what they can, but it doesn't hurt to like check it.
And I know we talked about the lighting, but in regard to the viaducts, do we think, or does IDOT think, that the railroads are going to be on task and on time for their requirement for the work that they need to be signing off on?
We haven't heard anything on the railroad status, right? You know, other than there were difficulties like 6 to 12 months ago, we heard that, I think, but I haven't heard anything recently.
Okay.
Move to the south side if there's anything else.
Yeah, really, you know, the big item is the utility item that Bart had reviewed, and you know, similar exhibits are prepared as far as shared use path and grass median. So this is going all the way down to Caton Farm Road from Route 71, and also finishes off the intersection at Route 71 as well. One initial email indicated they're trying to hit a letting sometime in 2024 in June, is what they indicated. But you know, we haven't been able to confirm that. So this project also could be moving forward relatively quickly.
Would it copy the section that they did from Morris up?
Yes.
The way they did it? Because they kind of spread it out there, right? That's kind of wide, the two lanes one way, the two lanes the other way.
I think it's the same right-of-way and the same cross-section as what we have, like, on 34 with the big median in the middle.
I think so.
I think they just kind of narrowed it up when they got into town. They took out the medians.
That's south of Ament is where it'll actually, because this is showing south of Ament as grass median.
The rural.
Where north, there's just concrete.
Concrete, yeah.
Any chance? I know that there are turns in here. Do we have any opportunities to add some?
I think the right-of-way tightens up quite a bit, Chris.
As you get into town.
As you get into town, and I think that, you know, that's what they were.
That's what we're going to end up with, the same as what we have through town.
Kind of goes the urban instead of the more rural.
It's just unfortunate. It's kind of a welcome into town is 5 lanes of concrete.
With the two proposed traffic signals, the one right there at Dave's Coach and the one over there by Cervantes, do we anticipate that being a major backup problem?
No, they're both there
they're
now.
They're both there now.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're not doing any new lights.
No, it doesn't
look
like
it's all just the existing
just
lights.
Redo.
You know, they call them the towers there.
Yeah.
That obviously, they don't get to that same time.
Yeah.
The one at Saravanos, they had talked about removing, actually, for not needing the warrants.
Doesn't seem to get much use.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one right there
by
the
McDonald's.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Used to be the medical,
yeah.
Warrants
yeah.
Medical was there.
Let's just move it up to Bristol
Bay. Just move
Bay.
It to Bristol Bay. Well, that one's 100% our responsibility for maintenance. There's no share on that one because it was put on a private road by the developer.
Okay, I'll move on. Item 2, PW 2023-85, Pinging, Kendall Council Mayor's Call for Projects.
All right, we have another call for projects. So basically, moving forward, every 2 years we will have a call for projects. So our last one was only 2 years ago, and now another one is out. So basically, projects are due just the week before Christmas. If the city is to consider submitting. So just a reminder, these are to be used on STP type of projects or STP funds are used, and there's three different types of projects you can use them on, a reconstruction, a minor rehab, and then basically resurfacing types of projects. So these types of projects can only these types of funding can only be used on FAU routes, and those are designated routes that's approved by the state. So there is an exhibit that's within the packet that identifies those within city limits. So it's relatively limited on what we can apply for. And these are typically your more major roadways, collective roads, and things such as that. So we have, meaning staff, have reviewed the eligible streets, taken a look at the conditions of those various streets and roadways, and are recommending submitting on two. One is East Van Emmon, which we applied for 2 years ago, and it was very high on the contingency list, and we've actually been told here recently that a very strong chance of getting funding next year if we continue to proceed with that project. You know, the city elected to move ahead with the design, and we're working on that, and we're targeting letting in the fall. So good chance of that getting funded, so definitely recommend, and we have to resubmit that one. The next one for consideration is a larger project along Kennedy Road. So there's a section of Kennedy Road basically from Auden Creek, and you travel to the east, basically up to Freedom Place, that's relatively narrow. You know, it has been recently repaved, but it is narrow. It does have some dangerous curves. There is the intersection that currently exists that could require some improvements and some modifications. So it is something to consider. And also it's a very high volume stretch of roadway in this area, which helps from a point perspective. So you're competing against all the other communities within the King Kendall Council of Mayors. So you want to select a project that's relatively going to score relatively high within their scoring system. So we had taken a look at this, and we do believe that we have a reasonable chance of getting funding for this particular project, probably 50-50, maybe slightly higher. And then we did break down and provide a detailed cost estimate within the packet as well. So overall, about $3.1 million. City share would roughly be $900,000 of that. But federal SDP funding, almost $2.2 million. So, substantial opportunity to obtain federal funding if the council chooses to move forward. So, pause and address any questions anybody may have.
So you're saying you're thinking we should apply for both, or do we have to choose one?
Apply for both.
Just as a reminder on the Kennedy Road section, you're actively receiving transportation impact fees from Grand Reserve at $2,000 per unit when they build. That is will eventually offset this cost, but is currently going towards one of the other sections of Kennedy Road or Mill Road.
Mill Road, I think.
So, so that's paying down, you know, a project that we've already done. So, as Grand Reserve continues to build out, you know, you probably aren't going to have $1 million by the time this project is ready to go, and maybe a year or two if you get funding, maybe longer.
Yeah, these projects typically last 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
By the time you get through all the federal requirements from getting things approved, it's usually 4 to 5 years.
So no guarantee that you would have $1 million in transportation impact fees, you know, sitting ready and waiting, but I think it's probably reasonable to assume you're going to have a few a few hundred thousand dollars and then you can reimburse yourselves in the back end of those fees after you receive them later. So so it's minimal impact to the budget to apply for it. And get it and do it.
Is it possible that we could work out where they ask, say, we'll give you one of the two?
No.
No?
There's, yeah, you're not limited by the amount of projects you can submit. There's
okay.
other communities that submit half a dozen or more. A little bit too aggressive, probably. In my opinion, but it's not unusual for communities to submit multiple ones. So, you know, Aurora, Survey Doors, Elgin, St. Charles, Geneva.
You're going to have to do both of the projects anyway in the next 5 years, so you're really just looking to reduce your total outlay on it.
So. We have a history of, submitting more than one.
Yeah, we've submitted multiple applications in the past. We certainly have a history of obtaining funding for it. So Bristol Ridge was the last one that we obtained, which was completed last year.
Was that a single one?
I think we only submitted one in that particular call. Yeah. So it's a point system. You know, they're not going to, you know, dock you if you submit two. That's not how it works. So basically, it's based on traffic volume. It's based on condition of the pavement, it's based on safety, and then other factors, but those are the main ones that come into play.
If you, if they don't grant, do you get any feedback as to why? Like, would we have an idea why Vancouver wouldn't have been chosen last time?
Yeah, they'll give us a scoring system. So, you know, there's a policy which outlines, you know, basically how they score things, and they will provide that feedback to you. So, you know, we have EEI has staff that's actually sat on the committee to help come up with the scoring. So, you know, we're very in tune with, you know, with what we think it takes to get a project approved. So, and that staff member, you know, that's what I leaned on to give us his opinion on how, you know, Kennedy Road, for example, will come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Greg?
Would the improvements that have already been made to other parts of Kennedy be a factor in getting this approved? Like, since it's already done and it's nicer, would it be help? Would it be more of a help or a hindrance to get that approved?
Well, probably doesn't help that the pavement is in decent condition, because that is, you know, something that's looked at. But it is narrow, so it is, from a safety perspective, it's dangerous. Those curves also, there's been some fatalities on those curves as you get closer to the golf course. So, you know, that certainly is going to score well from a safety perspective.
I think more like, since the other part was already done, just make it look nicer going away.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a minor part of the, you know, overall scoring too, but, you know, it could come in.
I don't really have a question. It's just, we just not too long ago approved a design for Van Emmons, seems to amount to submit for it.
Yeah, and it's, they're pretty confident that you're going to get funding for that next year, because they're, what's happening is there's a lot of funding in the region that's not getting spent fast enough. So, ironically, part of that is because IDOT can't process things fast enough. So, which, you know, we'll take advantage of it, and if we have a project ready to go, we'll take their money and we'll use it.
Especially
Yeah, we chased them off.
Yeah. All right. So this, we need permission for to go for the application, right?
Yeah, it'll be a motion to authorize application for both projects.
Are we all good, right?
Yeah.
That can go on consent because we don't know the numbers yet, so it's. What do you guys think?
Go with it.
Unless you have some additional questions, that's how it's going to hold off.
Yeah, they can. Because they're just asking for permission.
Yeah.
I almost think we should do it right there.
Consent's fine.
Yeah, do consent if you can. Chris, did you, well, we're kind of, this is for the Van Emmon and Kennedy Road grant. And we put it on consent if someone really wants to pull it off. Since we're not actually, we're just giving permission to go for it.
To move it forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Item 3, PW 2023-86, Special Service Area, Fox Hill and Sunflower States Maintenance Services.
Yeah, this is just kind of an update for you all to kind of let you know what we're planning on the next few years for these two special service areas. Nothing really out of the ordinary. As the subdivisions are aging, we're having to perform more maintenance and probably more frequent maintenance. Two areas in each that are actually going to be something that we should talk about. One in Fox Hill is going to be the sign maintenance, and we have no sign right now. We sold the sign, the rights to the sign, to IDOT when they widened Route 34, and IDOT bought back the right-of-way so far that there is no spot to put a sign that you could see from Route 34. So my last-ditch effort is going to be working with the developer of, I believe it's a senior housing, over right by, right in front of Dreyer, and see if we can get an easement in that area to put the sign there. If not, there is really no area to put it unless we want to put it back in the subdivision.
Because if we wanted to mount it onto the wall.
They will not let us. They have said adamantly, absolutely not.
And is that a district standard or is that, because
there are
other places where it's been done, but it could just be district.
I think it's district three's. Because that was the first thing I asked. I said, can we just put it right back there? And they're like,
what difference would that make to actually mount the sign onto it? These are the common sense things that are lacking.
I do not disagree. But that's coming up. I'm trying to work with the developer. If we can find a spot right up front there on Sycamore Road and Route 34, at least that gives us a nice visibility.
I just feel bad because, you know, this neighborhood has kind of lost their identity, you know, because there was a sign deal. Now we're going to move it over to Sycamore, and it's just completely removed from that area.
We can give it one more try with District 3. They may have changed their policy. That was, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah. And, you know, whether it's on the inside wing walls or something, it's. I know why we removed the islands in there, but now I'm kind of kicking myself because if you pull far enough back.
That was so narrow, though, I don't think you'd like a sign there either.
As long as you have far enough back, it would be fine. Just need a very good barrier.
Yeah, absolutely. The other item of note, is there any other questions on that item? I'm sorry.
I don't. I think we get resident inquiries from time to time.
Every once in a while. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure Chris, you have too.
Yeah, there's one other, but I think I'll kind of get into it after the next one.
Yeah, my other one I wanted to make you aware of is the trail maintenance. Part of that trail is going to be coming up on close to 30 years old. So we're going to budget for trail replacement of partial trail replacement, like 20% every year in the next 5 years. Starting in the fifth year, I'm sorry. That's confusing. And then for Sunflower, the two big items are maintenance of the ponds, which we're going to try to do a controlled burn. I'm working with NCAP and PISO to get prices. And then the other one is the south entrance trimming and removal of some of the dead trees and broken down trees. Any longtime council members, I don't know, Kenna, you might have been on there. We trimmed the Mugo pines years and years ago, and I almost got scalped because the residents didn't like it. So I've let them go. And now they are the entire width of the median, and you can't trim them now. There's no trimming them back. And they're
starting, die, right?
Well, you're only supposed to trim off the new candles. Right. Mm-hmm. They're already as wide as the
right.
As the median.
If you went back in, they would die.
And some of them are dying now. I talked to an arborist, and he said that they were put in, I believe, in like 95. So they have lived close to their useful life.
People think those are small plants.
Yeah, they're not. And they're starting to crowd out the trees. So we're going to have to, I'm going to take a look at it and see what we can do. But a lot of them will be coming up.
So if we took all those out, just say we take all that out, even the euonymus that's in there, everything is the size, the width of the actual meat. So you take it out, keep the trees that are quality, just come back in with a brown cover evergreen.
More than likely.
And
yep.
A couple of daylilies at the end.
So mulch and just keep people's sight lines a little better than they are now, because it's very, you can't see.
The only nice thing about it is if you're heading north or south, you can't see the opposite track.
Yeah, you can't see it at all.
So,
yeah.
It is quite a buffer.
It is large, but that's a big one that could cause contention, and maybe not. I've had a couple of residents in there say, please get rid of them. We can't see when we're going down that road. So, we'll see. Everything else should be pretty much routine, unless anybody has any questions.
So Fox Hill, I mean, when I got put on the council, I think it was right after their HOA, because Sunflower had an HOA in it to fund.
They never formed. When they went to turn it over.
Oh, those people contacted me saying they were on the HOA board, and so I was like, okay.
No, we actually held those meetings in the old courthouse.
Because they were talking about the flooding at that point in time down there at the bottom. And
yeah.
So, and then they said, well, they told me the HOA just, they ceased to fund it. So, and I just was wondering if Fox Hill ever had one, or if it was.
Nope.
No, Fox Hill was always with us. Yeah, that one never.
Okay. Never started.
Never formed.
I think the townhomes.
Townhomes still do.
Yes, that's the land.
The front townhomes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not the back townhomes. Well, no, they do too. They have a different one.
The townhomes on the west and the townhomes at the there's
north. Yeah.
It's these weird little pods that actually formed and managed, but otherwise, yeah, it's just.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I know that was one of the first things that I hit with, and they were like, yeah, well, two of the people were HOAs. They said they were ex-HOA board.
Yeah.
So they thought they had more control. I'm like, well, no, the city's doing it.
All right.
The only other thing I had was at Fox Hill, we control everything on the outside of the barrier wall, right? Or do...
It's IDOT's right-of-way.
But in terms of maintenance, we're responsible to maintain...
It's kind of like one of those things where, you know, like the townhomes maintain their section, just so like Dreyer maintains their section... We maintain the sections
from Deal Farm over to the retail building. That's maintained by the townhomes. They're actually taking care of that.
They're supposed to.
Okay. I get a lot of comments about the weeds, and you know, I know what we do is we spray Roundup around the base, and we end up with the dead plants running, you know, 2 feet tall. Because obviously, same thing that happens over by Deal Farm.
Yep.
In lieu of the signage, if we could, I'd be willing to, in lieu of the signage, consider putting vines on the exterior of those walls.
Like they have on 30?
30 and elsewhere. You know, Aurora's done a nice job. Montgomery's done a decent job. Theirs are bigger. It takes a lot longer to fill in, but aesthetically, it helps a lot. Actually, it does reduce the noise, too. So, I know that's maintenance on our part. And that's why I was wondering, do we control that one section, or is it something that's...
It's kind of like a parkway in front of your house. I mean, it's right-of-way, and I'm sure they would allow us to put the vines in there, but we ask them to mow it just like we ask everybody else to mow.
Because then it helps minimize the trimming or weed build that you have to put along the base, and aesthetically it would be better.
We'll sure look into it.
You have an idea of ballpark costs? $2,000? Okay.
I mean, it shouldn't be much, because it's... Probably a couple of years, few years to establish. You might have to come back and put a couple.
Are we doing it just at Fox Hill, or are we doing it at the nursing home as well?
Well, since this is a Fox Hill discussion, but it goes to the other one as well.
Yeah. So the process would be with everybody's consent. Do the cost estimate.
Yep.
Figure out a very high level. Have everybody give the go ahead for it to be planned into probably the next year's budget, or you know. subject to available funds from the Fox Hill SSA. The levy associated with this maintenance plan is set to go in front of City Council next week. That is the same levy that we have approved last year and I think the year before. There's no plan to change that within the 5-year period, so that is unchanged too. So whatever Eric comes up with, if everybody wants to do it, we can make a decision basically to deficit fund that and then get paid back over time, or to, you know, increase the levy next year if you wanted to.
So, question. Is the parkway maintenance part of Fox Hill's mowing agreement, or is that city staff?
City staff.
Okay, so then would those plants be part of the HOA, or would we just do that out of general?
To be determined, yeah.
Okay.
City Council would decide, assuming you wanted to do it.
Okay, so we could determine that, because having three basic distinct sections, the, you know, Fox Hill wall, the private HOA, and then the other part down there, would it be warranted to put that small section under their HOA as compared to just putting things to think about?
Okay, we have to check on the legality, but my guess is in lieu of the sign, you probably could get away with it.
So okay.
This is what we're doing instead.
Got it.
Good
question.
Right. So, do you need a... There's no vote required on this. It's just
informational
item in case you wanted to change direction going forward, and then the levy is going to be on the City Council agenda Tuesday.
Move on to item 4, PW 2023-87, 2023 Road to Better Road, change order number 1, and final payment estimates.
All right, as we normally do with infrastructure projects, we bring a balancing change order to the council for consideration. This is IDOT's version, there is MFT funds that were used as part of the last year's road program. And IDOT does require specific forms and specific items to be signed and approved and sent in. So those are the documents that are attached behind in the memo. But basically, the project is complete, and the project came in a little bit over $22,000 less than the original awarded contract value. So we are recommending approval of the two documents.
That's a good thing. All right, set.
Yeah.
Good roll in favor. Okay. Item 5, PW 2023-88, meeting scheduled for 2024. We still want to do the meeting Sunday, third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m.?
Yes.
Great. There's no conflicts in 2024.
Okay. Does that need a vote or?
Consent vote.
Okay, so put that on the consent agenda.
I mean, consent to this committee is fine.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, I think you're good here.
Yeah.
Okay. Old business. Item 1, PW 2023-83, Collins Ridge Subdivision Traffic Sign Analysis. I think this is a continuation from we discussed it previously.
Yeah, it's the same pack of materials from last time. Chris just asked that everybody take months to do, digest the materials and then have a discussion this week.
And also included was the previous traffic calming control box, you know, for things that didn't warrant the actual, you know, stop signs or, you know, other changes, the options that could be utilized. So that was a nice inclusion, since these didn't warrant changes to the current controls, which I'm usually not in favor of additional stop signs, yield signs. It's more related to the visual. I'm a fan of, sorry, Eric, speed tables and speed bumps.
They have their places. Just,
they do.
Just not on my roads. No, I'm teasing. Teasing. I'm teasing.
Where's Eric way?
Yeah.
You know what they do at Fernie? They put them, the temporary ones down. They'll put them down for 2 or 3 weeks and then they pull them back up. I don't get it. It's annoying.
School district had that on the racetrack, as they call it. It's parallel to the building. Until homecoming, when some kids took them and removed them themselves. They actually work very, very well. But yeah, the temporary kind of things. And that's what I was thinking of in a couple of these instances, would be the seasonal temporary, kind of like we do the sign, you know, the radar sign, the temporary speed bumps where they're in for a week or two, you know. The issue kind of goes away for a while, and then, you know, you can take those out, but then if they reappear, people realize, hey, there is a little bit of an issue, and it just changes their mindset a little bit. Because obviously there are things we could do for the striping, which would help. In certain instances, striping does have a psychological change, whether you actually stripe the narrowing of the lanes or the crosswalks. Because in some, most of these, they don't have straight crosswalks, so if that's next to the park, that is one of those that is more my concern. So I don't know if there's something that maybe we could look at the temporary speed bumps or some enhanced striping through there.
Striping's definitely the cheapest.
Do we have an idea on the cost of the, well, I guess it's kind of in here a little bit, but for the temporaries.
Yeah, those are fairly dated, what, 7, 8 years old?
Exactly.
But, you know, that's something that
$5,000 for a 7.3.
Check us out.
$3,000 to $5,000 for a 7.3 in 2015.
Right. And then, are you aware, or have you seen the, what is the proper term? They're kind of a flexible medium now. So the speed bumps are, it's not a liquid material, but it's a material that if you hit it at a high speed, it's solid. But if you come through at a slow speed, it actually morphs and it's a smooth roller. Have you seen these?
No. I've not seen
those.
They're
very impressive. They're being used in a few places around the country, but so if you hit them at the right speed, you know, they just kind of move aside, you know, they're kind of gelatinous almost is what it looks like, but you hit them at a hard speed and they're solid, it's a speed bump. So it kind of does what you want, it gets people at the right speed without, you know, hitting a speed bump if you're doing it correctly.
And that's portable?
Yes. Because they're not a, it's not a permanent installation, but it's something that can go in. Because I don't think these would work in the winter. I don't know. Depends on that. But that's always our issue with winter here.
Yes.
Very true.
So what are you envisioning that, let's say you bought three, where would you, you're just going to like move them around in your, all these points that we are in this report?
Yeah, it's kind of like the traffic, you know, the radar signs. They could move to problematic places around the city, where you could, you know, put them in and take them out as you need to, and then move around.
And so, how do you go about deciding that?
In terms of deciding where they go?
Yeah, like Chief can, you can tell Chief the speed or bad at a certain spot, and that's when you'll get traffic.
I think it'd be.
Here I was wondering how you were thinking about this, city council or mayoral direction, depending on, you know, how you wanted to govern the asset. So it's
like
similar to the speed camera or the
they choose where they want to go, or if we have a concern, we, you know, raise it and then
staff discretion with city council guidance or, you know. Mm-hmm.
So Eric, we would have to put up there would have to be some sort of warning signs, too.
Ahead,
right? So,
signs to go with them.
Right, right. So it'd be more than just the speed.
So those would be at every intersection.
Well, you'd have
you
to
just
take
portables,
them in and out.
You take those back out when you move the signs.
Yeah.
Or move the speed bumps. You move the signs.
That happens a lot.
How do you think that would be perceived? Almost along the lines of, is the city trying these temporary ones and if it doesn't improve, they're going to put permanent ones in?
Well, if that puts the fear into people, yes. We'll try it. If it doesn't work, we'll put it in the permanent.
I mean, I'm thinking as a resident, that's how I would perceive it is, why are they putting temporary ones in here? Is it just to see if it slows people down if it doesn't? Then are there going to be potentially permanent ones? Is that ultimately what you're looking for, is permanent ones?
To be determined. Because obviously the permanent ones have to work with our snow plows. You know, that's where speed bumps are not as ideal. It's more, if you're going to do it, it's the speed tables typically work better just because of the way the plows work on them. It's, so you got to be careful on design and where they're done. You know, some of these are on curves, so it even makes it more challenging, you know, as you're coming through. So a lot of variables and considerations.
I'd definitely be against permanent ones.
Yeah, I think
don't even mention roundabouts.
No, but like you could do intersection tables, but like the bad thing about this intersection at Island and Western with the S-curve, it's not even one that I would consider as a candidate, because what happens if you're on that table, now you're at the same level as the curve, you're more likely to go into a yard off, you know, always something that could go wrong if you have to think about it, so.
Do we have a lot of data from PD for high speeds in this area?
Yeah, they ran, they actually did an extended cycle because EI went out there, they did their traffic study, so they had the all the monitors out there, but then the PD actually coincidentally were doing parallel reports, and they ran theirs for, I think it was a couple weeks throughout the entire area. So there's a lot of, all that data is in here from the actual EI report and the PD's information.
I really refer it to the PD.
Yeah, ours was for a week.
So the speed number for yours?
In this memo, yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was assuming that you got those from the police.
Yeah, that was from our.
Yeah, data JJ had sent these reports that were done, that actually worked along this, because I sat down and talked to him about this area, and he had sent those out via email.
I'm not sure what guys got direction you want to go, or what are you thinking of this?
I don't know, there's not really a whole, we're going to do, you know, striped walkways or temporary speed bumps. Go used to it now. It's going to snow soon, so that part's, obviously, that's an issue currently. So if it warms up, I'm not for permanent speed bumps or tables. You know, at that point, let's just put the stop signs in. It's not like it'd be the first time. You know, over the summer, we did that on Main Street, and we're, you know, there wasn't a statistical need for it, but we put it there. So I just feel like
over on mm-hmm. That corner too, that was going to go past me.
So it solves the issue without having to move stuff around or something permanent, like a permanent bump in or putting in signs or moving signs.
It is more stuff for staff to have to do if they're going to put them in and pull them out.
No, the stop signs, traffic sign, the yields, those are just an indication of who has right away. You know, it's, they're not your best and most reliable solution, because people are creatures of habit that will disregard those, you know, roll through them, not even stop. Or if you do stop from point A to point B, you'll make up your small amount of time by accelerating faster, and then you decelerate faster. That is the trade-off to the stop signs. And that's why I've always said on this one, I'm not an advocate of the stop signs, because you get that trade-off. And that's one thing that I've noticed just visually watching it and seeing some of these numbers in here, from the points where you do have traffic controls, you get the higher speeds in between.
So ultimately, you want speed bumps then?
Whether it's a temporary, or honestly, I think the striping, the lane narrowing is probably one of the best ones, because you bring the cars closer together. That does do a lot to slow people down.
It does.
So that's modifying the actual street.
Possibly. You can do it with striping, or you can do it with curb changes. So there's ways you can trial it with just striping.
Yeah, but I don't think you want to start reducing streets. At least I'm not.
It's worked very, very well in Aurora.
Well, it might work.
Higher congestion there is.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, you throw it down for a, you know, small, you know, lane. And it is very successful in slowing people down. There's no doubt about that. But an initial step, what you're getting at, Chris, is putting in the striping first.
Right.
Just to see how it works. And if there's positive results, if I'm hearing you correctly,
yeah,
then consider a more significant, a more permanent improvement.
Yeah, so it's just like the temporary speed bumps. You see what does and doesn't work. That's why we put together this, you know, the toolbox years ago, is to find out what things could we do, what can we see actually works. Over the course of time, really, the only thing we've done is stop signs. That's the only metric we've used in the past 6 years.
Is that something we can do in-house?
I was just going to look up striping, lane narrowing.
So maybe you need some time to probably get us some numbers,
mm-hmm,
more information on the striping.
Oh, yeah, and we wouldn't put striping down in winter.
Right.
So
it's something to look at over the next few months before spring.
Yeah. So we could prepare some exhibits, and work with Eric, come up with cost estimates, and physically lay out some narrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also check into that soft gel.
Yep, the semi-solid speed bump.
So we noticed that, Chris, because you're doing the subdivision there, obviously. Take a look at it. Do you notice that issue on both ends, or just the end as everybody's heading towards target specifically?
So the areas that are the prime is High Bridge at Blackberry. You know, that intersection there, because that is a south movement heading east. So that's prior. And then when you're at Northland and Western, coming along the actual park. So you're coming southbound, you're approaching the park, it's that area there, kind of that stretch, because that's where the S-curve is.
Yep.
Whether it's northbound or southbound, that's where it typically is, because the other at the north end, it's that far right. You have to make a 90-degree turn either direction. And that's just a one block section, so it's truly that's and yeah, a lot of it is the cut through traffic just heading to targets or through the area in general.
So is it kind of one specific one in here among all of them, or that you're kind of leaning for the one you're just talking about?
I mean,
the location.
Yeah, because it seems there was a bunch of locations, right?
Well, we looked at three different locations.
So if you're one in the north end here,
mm-hmm,
so this is the primary, because this one here is the worst one. The issue here is the traffic cutting across, because you get a lot of cross traffic. It's everyone that runs behind Target.
Sure.
So you just get that. It's an odd intersection. Just because you've got the service drive for Home Depot, you get a lot of wrong way traffic with the island there, just because of the odd geometry there. So, and when you've got the parking from the ball fields, that's when it becomes more of a challenge because of the lines and stuff. And on the other side, these were the two that had the traffic controls and yields for the east-west, but it's this intersection here because you kind of get the right track effect across Blackberry Shore and then up and down High Bridge. Those two are both uncontrolled streets. There's no traffic control, so you're north-south and east and west on both of those. So yeah, that's the intersection. That's, you know, a lot of traffic. And I've had neighbors on both sides parking on about that one.
Because that one's a straight shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's two sets of five houses that front on it. Otherwise, you have very minimal parking on that street. So it's pretty much wide open most of the time. Yeah. I've got friends over on Northland. They intentionally park cars across from each other on the street to
slow people down.
To try to slow people down.
They could Greenbrier too.
Granted, not the best, because when you're on the curb and you put two pickup trucks there, it will slow you down, but it is a challenge. So I'm reluctant to want to have restricted parking over there.
So what's the time, good time frame for you guys to come back with, like February, March, springtime after Eric's done pound snow?
Yeah,
sure.
That time
does that
yeah.
work?
Yeah.
Sound right? You guys, I mean,
when can striping start technically?
Oh,
I mean,
it's all ground temperature. Maybe we.
So
we,
is that?
We look for 55 degrees
yeah.
on the
okay.
pavement. Yeah.
So you're not March.
It's May.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You're usually late April, early May.
That's my answer right there. All
right. Does that help?
Before then.
Yes.
March agenda.
Yeah.
It should
be
March. So it's a strong El Nino. So it's very warm.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
So, we'll gladly move it up. Though.
It's going to be out in February.
Hey, I'll take it. If it's warm in February, I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, last thing is any additional business? Chris?
Did you have I had the retaining walls. We got through that one there. Parkway trees. So we do a 50-50 share system. One thing that I've noticed is, and this comes from multiple buckets of potential funding, is trees within parks, when they're taken down, they're not always replaced, but then also public property rights of ways, we don't replace those. It would be nice if we, as a city, provided a budget for replacements on a lot of that, whether it's 5,000, 10, 20,000, something. We have a lot of trees that have come down in the course of the past 10 years that haven't been replaced. I also wouldn't mind looking at, tree replacement throughout this, city parkways for, residents who don't, or you've got just barren areas, and just, trying to replace some of the areas that are more barren that need parkway trees. Because it is a challenge. You get the parkway is the responsibility of the resident, but our program is 50-50. We just provide the labor, they provide the cost for the actual tree. So I think especially on our public areas that is next to parks and such, we should be looking to replace some of those trees that have come down. So something to look at is to how many of those are there and could we facilitate that.
We've had upwards of 40 people participate in the Parkway Tree Program, and like you said, that's a drop in the bucket.
Exactly.
You could probably do 100 easily a year.
Mm-hmm.
We have minimal tree replacements with parks budgeted, like 10 grand maybe?
Yeah,
okay.
I believe that's probably
it. So if we could look at stepping that up, because obviously on the park property is one thing, but also the parkways, those kind of things. Just looking at it, first for public areas, and second, could we do it for residential areas? And whether we have to come up with like a lottery system or something, if you don't have a tree, if you want another tree, we're going to do 50 trees, drop, name in a lottery, and get picked, something like that.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to talk to the mayor about it, make sure that it's included in the budget proposal, fund it first, and then figure out
how to do
it afterwards. So. Good. So, do you take that to the mayor? I'll let him know too,
yeah.
But ultimately it's going to be his call, on an advocacy
yeah.
basis, so, yeah. You're going to want to make sure you pitch that to him and or do it during the public meeting process.
Right. It's through our budget
yeah.
process. Yeah. Well, if he wants to, work it in to that, or if we, through our budgeting process, throw it in there. Just something to see if we
send an email, trees, ?
Not your neighborhood, but others.
Okay. Good. Oh, great. Okay.
Do we have any more information on the King Street closure?
King Street closure. We had directed the contractor to complete the work. The mayor went out there walking with both of us just to check.
we did find out that when he walked it, it was a good opportunity to either, go one way or another on the project, so we didn't spend any money at the time. It actually ends up being cheaper for us to do what we did because we saved the pavement costs along that one block area. So we did re-notify the residents that had contacted us, and I don't know what the status of the work is.
It's done. As,
okay, it is. Okay. Complete. So.
Yeah, Joe and I are taking the deed.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, anything else? Meeting adjourned at 7:10.